With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
An Erios production.
Would I kill my own baby to save a village?
Would I go back in time and kill Hitler?
Would I take the promotion at work with strings attached?
Would I eat muffins for the rest of my life if it meant I didn't have to go to school?
Would I have Satan's child?
The Big Ones!
Hello and welcome to
The Big Ones!
Each week, I'm Maria.
And I'm Amanda.
And this is The Big Ones. Each week we discuss new ethical questions ranging from historical decisions to relationship problems to brain-busting moral choices.
The questions can be complicated to discuss, but they're always fun to talk about because they force you to look deep, deep, deep within inside yourself. Will you like what you see? Maria Blasexy. That's right. It's a mailbag episode.
And that means it's just me and Amanda riding through to the stars.
Honk, honk, postman's here.
Come on in. Water's fine. The tale of the sexy postman.
Uh-oh.
Every day the postman would honk his horn and mother would allow him into the pool.
He'd drive right in and all the letters would get soaked, but they didn't care.
He, no need to lick those stamps.
What bills?
So, and if you guys like that, then you can join our Patreon where you can get full episodes, extra episodes where we talk about the Postman Chronicles. So, Amanda, we have some messages. We have, woo-hoo. First of all, we have a voicemail.
Oh, my God.
And we can get to that later. Maybe that will be our grand finale.
Okay.
Now, also, we got this message on Patreon, but I want to bring it up here because I'm itching to get the answer to this.
Ooh.
Okay. This came in from a listener on Patreon, and this is what they said. I just listened to the Leaving on a Jet Plane episode. Now, pause. I think that's with Caperland.
I see. That was the episode where you get an invitation to board a spaceship going to outer space because the world is about to end. And mm-hmm. It's you and like a bunch of luminaries. It's like Oprah, Bill Gates, Amanda Gorman.
Who's that?
She's that little poet. Is she the poet laureate who went viral after Biden's inauguration? Talented young woman. But anyway, you're almost positive you were sent the invitation by mistake. So basically the dilemma was, would you tell them that you're not meant to be on this expedition, and then you just go back to die with all your friends and family?
Okay, well, I'm going to continue on now, and I'm going to let you know that this isn't all sunshine and roses.
Oh, no. Okay.
I just listened to the Leaving on a Jet Plane episode and was surprised by what I heard.
Oh.
In particular, Amanda admitting about stealing from Subway sandwich.
Oh.
Those are usually franchises, so you are impacting actual mom and pop businesses. I know you wouldn't do that if you realize that, since I know you both to be moral people after listening to several episodes in quarantine after finding you on James Bonding. No biggie, just figured you should know. Now, I don't remember you talking about stealing Subway sandwiches. What are you talking about?
I said, okay, because this was our little big one. Kate was talking. And by the way, sorry, I'm being called out when Kate is like a serial thief stealing high-end products from Sephora. Okay, so that was what she was talking about, how she is essentially a kleptomaniac who steals from Sephora.
But she steals from larger places. You're stealing from mom and pop shops.
I'm not. I was stealing from Subway sandwich. And let me tell you, it was like twice I would grab a bag of chips, a bag of Sun Chips. Okay. And so that's the extent of my theft. And I was a teenager and I did it more for the rush. And of course, yes, I want the Sun Chips, but this is the thing. You know, you have the option to get chips or you get two cookies.
Two?
This is what's crazy about Subway. You can either get a side of chips or you can get two of their homemade cookies.
Jeez, why wouldn't they just allow you to get chips and one cookie?
Well, apparently the chips come at a premium because they're name brand. While the cookies are made in-house, or so they say. So, yes, I think twice I fast-handed a pack of Sun Chips. But, you know, this is normal behavior for a teen. They're kind of like testing the boundaries. Do I continue to steal from Subway? No, because I don't go to Subway, because what do they put formaldehyde in their bread?
Yeah, they put formaldehyde. Yeah, the bread isn't bread. The bread is not bread.
This is the thing. And so while I did not realize Subways were franchised, and by the way, we need to get someone fact checking that. I had no clue. So thank you. I no longer harm or benefit Subway in any way. They don't see my face. So I've learned from that behavior. I do not, there's nothing I steal now except, what do I steal
now? A couple glances on the train.
With a stranger.
I think I'm glad we cleared that up. I had no recollection of you stealing from Subway, but yes, absolutely. If it's small businesses or if it's, you know, a mom and pop shop, of course, you don't want to hurt these businesses. But I think, you know, a bag of Sun Chips, I get it. One bag of Sun Chips isn't going to break the bank, but if you do it, who knows who else is going to do it? You know, you could be, you know, people could see you do it and go, wow, she's cool. I'm going to do that too.
Now, I would like to learn more about what exactly it means when a restaurant, something is franchised, because is that then, are we saying like McDonald's are also franchised?
Well, remember the movie The Blind Side with Sandra Bullock and Tim McGraw?
Yeah.
Their whole thing was that they owned a franchise of like a Taco Bell.
Okay.
So I think what you do is like basically you go, I want to own a Taco Bell in this town. And then it's like you manage. I don't know. I'm going to look it up.
Franchise. So now I'm on New York Times, who says Subway got too big. Franchises paid a price. Sabotaged meatballs, the wrong soap. Franchisees say supervisors manipulated inspections, then took their stores. I mean, this is fascinating. And then they're saying it only cost $15,000 to open a Subway.
Whoa. So franchising is based on a marketing concept which can be adopted by an organization as a strategy for business expansion. Where implemented, a franchisor licenses its know-how, procedures, intellectual property, use of business model, brand, and rights to sell its branded products and services to its franchisee.
Interesting. I see. So I Googled a list of fast food restaurants that are franchised. So McDonald's, Subway, Pinkberry, Wendy's, Domino's, Pizza Hut, Domino's, Pizza Hut, Dunkin' Donuts, Taco Bell, KFC, and that's all that this list says. So don't steal from any of these places, which leads, if you are going to steal, maybe try, I don't know, a Jack in the Box. Let's see, is that franchise?
Uh,
I don't know that Jack in the Box are franchised. So no.
Listen to this. Remember how I just brought up The Blind Side?
Yeah.
It was about this family, the Tuohys. The husband and wife, who Sandra Bullock and Tim McGraw played, they own over 85 fast food franchises. 85 they own.
Wow.
Including Taco Bell, KFC, Pizza Hut, and Long John Silver's.
Wow.
This is thrilling to learn about, honestly. So basically you just go, I want to own a business, but I want there to already be a business in place.
Wow. Fascinating. And you know, my husband's family franchised, they owned a Conroy's for a while.
I didn't know that. And what is a Conroy's?
It's a flower shop.
You're kidding.
Yeah. So his mom and his stepdad, they ran a Conroy's and Matt worked there.
And how many flowers did you steal from them?
I wasn't around then. Lucky for them. But no, I just want to say, I think stealing is wrong. I do not steal anymore. I just happened twice. I stole some Sun Chips and I do feel bad about it. And I had no clue Subways were franchised.
Amanda, I think I speak for all of our listeners, this Jared from Subway and everyone here and this brand and Sun Chips, when I say you are forgiven and that you are a tale of hope and of reformation.
Thank you. I mean, the worst thing that I did when I was in high school is I stole.
Careful.
I did steal from a chocolate covered strawberry from a Ma and Pa ice cream shop.
Okay, so that does seem like excessive. This seems like maybe, yeah, you were addicted to the rush.
And I also, one time, I had like, you know those candy shops that had like big barrels of
course.
Root beer barrels and hard candies? One time I went into one of those with a folded umbrella.
Uh-huh.
And I was carrying the umbrella like a cane, you know, it was upside down.
Yeah.
And just a little bit of candy fell into my umbrella.
But then it started raining, so you had to put it up and they all fell out.
But this is all when I was an adolescent, so it's not
of course
anything I carry into adulthood.
We do not steal anything, but we do take the freebies, and that's a big one's promise.
Yes, and there's a fine line sometimes between stealing and the freebies.
But if the freebies are on your, you know, if the freebies present themselves, the freebies go into the pocket.
Yes.
That's what I say, too.
You always
have to be ready to take the free. Your pocket should always be empty for the freebies to come into them. You don't want to be caught without empty pockets.
That's right.
Okay, here we go. This is a follow-up to Rebecca's episode, the episode that Rebecca was on. Oh, no, wait, sorry. I apologize. It's not when Rebecca was on. It's when we talked about the movie Rebecca with Vanessa Bayer.
Okay.
Dear Marie and Amanda, I just listened to the Rebecca episode and I thought I would write in and give my opinion about tips and gifts for delivery people. I used to be a FedEx delivery driver, and some of my customers were generous and gave little bags of candy or chocolates. I even got a $25 gift card once. This was the best gift I received from a customer. This was only around the holidays and not regular at all. Maybe I'd get two gifts per day around the holidays, geez Louise, and that is the most. Usually I found things like bags of candy on the porch and specifically said for our wonderful UPS driver, thanks. Oh. I never grabbed it because I was the FedEx driver.
I know. What about FedEx? What is he, chop liver?
I never grabbed it because I was the FedEx driver, but I often wondered if they meant it for me or one of my coworkers, since probably 70% of acquaintances I talk to ask me if I still work for UPS or not. People get the two confused all the time. Obviously, the mailman or woman would deliver to homes particularly every single day, so it seems more likely they would get Christmas cards or gifts or tips. However, I truly don't think it's necessary. It's just one of those little extra things. This is also coming from a small town in rural Michigan, so it might also be a regional thing. Maybe in cities or much wealthier areas, delivery people get better tips. Also, you get used to the arrow in the logo. I never see it anymore. Keep up the good work, ladies. I love the podcast. And this is from Rosie. So Rosie is a female FedEx driver.
A delivery woman. I love that.
A delivery woman.
Because I did say him earlier, and that was gendered of me. I apologize. Now, this is interesting. So this is off of Vanessa's question Bayer. Bayer's question. I call her Bayer. This is off of Bayer's question. should she tip her mailman for Christmas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a God, how nice to leave little baggies of candy.
That's so nice. So nice.
I will say, though, I don't think I've ever seen the same UPS or FedEx person dropping off packages. Maybe if you live in a big city, they have a larger team, because I could not. I really think it's a different person every time.
We get the same FedEx driver for the most part that comes here, and they always leave a little dog treat for Piggles on top of the box.
Are you kidding?
It's so cute.
So you absolutely have to give them a bag of candy.
Yeah, I guess I do.
That is so sweet. Oh, you know what?
Craig's going to be making some more of his pancake cookies. Maybe we'll give those to the FedEx driver.
Yeah, you definitely should. Remember the person who wrote in asking if they should have handed the cookie to the delivery van?
No, they did. They did hand it to them. Oh. And then he took a bite of it or something, and they were wondering if they should stop him.
No, because they meant like they were going to put it on a plate for him or something, and he took it.
I don't remember.
Oh, he had gloves on.
But then he took his gloves off.
I don't remember. No, I think he ate it with his gloves on, and that's what they felt so horrible about.
Mm. Okay, so here we go. All right, here we go. You guys, first of all, I love the podcast and I'm so happy you're back, but you missed the obvious answer to this week's little big one. How to let go of your hairdresser cousin without damaging the relationship. She just has to tell her cousin, my friend is starting a new career as a hairdresser and I want to help her out by giving her some business. She can then go to whoever she wants and, bonus, she looks like she's a good friend. Anyways, love you guys, and I'm so glad for the new season starting. Loyal Big One, Ian.
Okay, so this is a few weeks ago. We had a listener write in, and in the very awkward situation of how do you get out of a relationship with a hairdresser, and theirs was their cousin. So they're saying you should say, I had a friend who just became a hairdresser, and I want to support them.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea.
The only reason why I'm nervous about that is that they go, oh my God, where did they go to beauty school? Like, what is their name?
Yeah, and then maybe you say I know Barbizon. Them. You say Barbizon. Okay, so this is a listener follow-up that was written to us on February 4th, 2020. So this was a year ago. So it's, I feel like I'm time traveling.
Whoa.
Hello, Marie and Amanda. You may remember me from the infamous Godzilla episode. My name is Bert, and the simple version is that I asked you for advice about telling my fiancé that a lustful coworker friend of ours came on to me last year. I do remember this. Mm. You two told me that I definitely need to tell my fiancé about this and to uninvite the coworker from the wedding. Mm. That was smart of us.
Yeah.
Well, I followed your advice.
How scary.
And my fiance got so upset with me, she postponed our wedding indefinitely.
What? Are you kidding? Stop.
We have
Are you serious? And you're just now reading this?
We have now been attending couples counseling for months.
Maria!
Trying to figure out how to mend broken trust and fix our relationship. I have gotten very exhausted with the process and am trying to manipulate my fiancé to break up with me entirely so we can both move on with our lives. The best way I can think of it to do it is by getting so fat that she straight dumps up on me. So the question is, should I eat muffins for the rest of my life so I don't have to go to school again?
It's a joke.
And I didn't say the other part where he said they've been attending couples counseling at a schoolhouse. So then he writes, just kidding. We got married in August and have been living very happy and beautiful life. I did follow your advice. I told my wife about the friend coming on to me. I did change the story to make it seem like it had just happened and not something I'd been struggling with for weeks because I'm a coward. My wife laughed it off and said that she couldn't blame her. And then she slapped my butt and called me a hunk.
Oh,
that's cute. I changed jobs a couple months ago and we have not seen or interacted with her since. I hope this provides sufficient closure. Cheers and keep up the good work. And then he sent wedding photos.
Oh, God, I got so nervous.
I know. Can you see?
Oh, aren't they just so cute? Oh, those are beautiful.
Beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful couple. That's so cute. She slapped your butt and called you a hunk. That is so cute.
I knew it. See, we did give good advice.
That was really smart to make that a muffins question at the beginning. That was really... Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking the other day, we haven't been rainbow trolled in a while, so we got a good one in.
We did. Okay, so here's another follow-up. And this was from 2018.
Okay. We need to do these mailbags monthly because this is ridiculous. This is insane. 2018, Maria, that's 4 years ago.
No, it is not.
Yes, it is.
Oh. Amanda, no, it is not. God. Okay, so this is in response to the Brian Schuff episode, the artist episode. We were talking about whether an artist should be, you know, their work, they should...
Should you separate the art from the artist? And this is very, I believe the word is prescient with this Woody Allen docuseries that is out right now.
Have you watched it?
I watched the first episode. It's horrible. I don't know if I can go on watching it. It's just so dirty and hard to watch.
Good morning. I am admittedly only halfway through the episode, but I wanted to send an email on a thought since I'm about to leave work. I am wondering if there is something unique with art that requires commands needs to evaluate the artist that is not found in other areas of life. Mm. Interesting. The contrasting hypothetical that flashed into my mind is if instead of an artist, if there were a chemist who it was discovered had been committing unspeakable acts against children, women, men, etc. for decades, but he also was the person who developed a cure for cancer. Mm. We can even say he developed the compound independently so that he's given sole credit. There is no way that we could stop using the drug that he created. Is the work of an artist so qualitatively different that their entire life's work must be wiped away when people in other fields are not bound by the same rule? Art and science are different, of course, but predation or weaker people is really a separate issue from the art or the science, in my mind. Love the podcast. Thank you so much, Matthew.
Okay, let's unpack this.
That's a really smart, interesting thing to bring up. Let's unpack it.
Well, there is a lot of stuff that goes on that's coming to a head in this sort of same area, like colleges who have buildings and schools who are named after maybe a donor and a great scientist, but then you come to find out, oh, they were also like started a club about eugenics. And it's like one thing. Okay, so this is what I think about it. If this scientist who was a horrible guy, abused women and children, invented a vaccine, no, of course not. We should not like let people die and not use the vaccine, but we also shouldn't name a school after him.
Right, but should he be awarded Scientist of the Year?
No. Absolutely not.
But he created the cure for cancer.
Yeah, but he's an abuser. So there's got to be someone else who's had an accomplishment that's not also an abuser. You don't have to like deny. We don't have to burn all of Woody Allen's movies, but should, like what they did with Gone with the Wind, should you put some sort of contextual disclaimer at the top of the movies so people can take that into consideration when they're watching it?
I don't think, I get what you're saying. I just wonder, first of all, when it comes to Woody Allen, and I haven't watched the documentary, I don't know anything about it, but he hasn't been convicted of anything.
No,
you know
but
what I mean?
Watch the doc. It's like, yeah.
It's bad news.
It's bad news. But also, the thing, I think, just real quick, it's like a vaccine that's going to save lives is one thing. A movie, it's like that's a little bit less necessary. I'll just say that. Not that art's not important.
I think, I don't know, if someone found the cure for cancer and the award is for someone who did the most for science that year, I think you do have to separate the person from the accomplishment, because you're not awarding the
awarding the person. That's what an award is.
Well, then I would just award his mind.
His mind is the abusive mind.
Well, part of his brain, his left side of his brain.
I think, like, when it comes, an award is not necessary. So, yeah, you shouldn't.
Well, no, of course
you shouldn't, like, go bury his accomplishments in the desert and, like, erase history. On the other hand, like, you don't need to. This guy should be in jail.
But has anyone ever gotten an award in jail?
I see, this is the thing. They probably have, but it was probably some sort of like in like a jail award, like best cellmate or something.
And best cellmate goes to, you know what's crazy? And I know this is going to sound maybe insensitive, but I've been watching that show 60 Days In. Have you ever seen it,
Amanda? Is it the one where someone goes undercover to jail?
You got to get into it.
I know
it.
What you're going to say. You're going to say that you would thrive in jail.
I would. I know the first week in jail would be horrible. I understand that. After that first week, thriving.
This is what Priya thriving. And I were saying about you. You are a secret extrovert, and it's really upsetting. And I do think in that way, like being around people, you'd have an audience. I think weasel your way in with a bunch of different groups as the jester.
At first, I'd be very shy. People would be like, oh, what's this bitch doing? You know, like they'd call me like Pris. You know, they'd call me like Prissy Girl or whatever. And that would be, you know, fine. And then I'd start to turn them. It's kind of like when I used to go to camp, you know, theater camp. And at first, everyone think I'd be really shy. But by the end, I was belle of the ball. It would take me a couple weeks to get there. But, you know, it was the surprise element that I actually came out of my shell. And people would go, wow, we didn't know that was behind your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I just looked glazed over for the first couple weeks. Talk about getting an award for best cellmate. Best inmate.
Inmate of the year. Well, I have a feeling you'll get a chance to experience that one day. All right, but Maria, I just have to push you real quick. You're going to give an award to a scientist who is like abusing children.
I'm not giving him the child abuse award. I'm giving him, okay, let's just say what the award is. The award is, it's the science awards, and the big award of the night is the biggest accomplishment in the art of science, or whatever you call it, the field of science in the year 2021. What's the biggest thing that happened in 2021 in this made-up scenario? Johnny got discovered the cure for cancer. No one's getting cancer anymore. It's done. Cancer's done. That's what we're just saying. Is Jojo Johnny going to get the award for scientific achievement of the year? he's in prison because, you know, of all that stuff he did. But did he do the thing that kind of changed science this year? Or are you going to give it to Donnie Dodo?
And oh, so what did Donnie Dodo do? He cured obesity. That's pretty good, too.
No. Yeah, okay, but I think it would be a little less than that. Maybe it's like Donnie Dodo, Donnie Dodo, you know, came up, he eradicated webbed feet.
No, that's too lowly. And not like that's, and also webbed feet is an advantage.
Donnie Dodo... Yeah, okay.
Eczema. He came up with a cure yes, for eczema.
For eczema. Okay. And the award goes to Donnie Dodo?
Absolutely, because why are we giving... certain behaviors should disqualify you from ever receiving any award. And that's one of the reasons why people don't do certain things, is because they want to get awards.
That's why they don't do certain things?
If there is no... it's. Unless there's no disadvantage to being a horrible person, like if you can still get an award and be accepted into normal society and also be a horrible, like do horrible things.
So you're saying some people don't do horrible things because they want to get awards?
Yes.
Because
they don't want to be outcast.
Yeah.
And awards are one of the main ways we include.
I mean, maybe, maybe.
I would like people to please write in about this because I have a feeling, Maria, that you're going to be taken to town.
I'm not the one who stole Sun Chips at Subway and threw a mom and pop shop out the window.
Okay, well, I'm not the that behavior shouldn't disqualify me from getting Scientist of the Year, though.
If someone cures cancer, and this is a very specific thing, because I'm not talking about some, I'm just saying if someone does something that's so extraordinary for the human race and is also an absolutely horrible person, and there is an award for specifically achievement in science, you have to, you have to.
No!
For the integrity of the science
absolutely
of the
Leary not. If someone is not just like a jerk, like riding around on a motorcycle, like a loud motorcycle, okay? Like blowing up dust and skirts and stuff. Like this person is a abuser of women and children. Absolutely not are they getting an award of any kind.
Well, I guess that's the difference between our award shows. I don't know. All I'm saying is, in that scenario, I think you do have to draw a distinction. And I'm sure, you know what I'd do? I'd say it's awarded to the achievement of Johnny Jojo, but I'm not going to give him the award. We're not going to, we're honoring his achievement, but we're not honoring him.
Then everyone's walking out. You've lost, you've already lost the attention of the audience.
Well, Amanda, joke's on you because we're not doing an in-person award show this year. It's all Zoom because of Corona. So no one's walking out. People are logging off. All right.
Okay.
Yes, please write in.
Yeah.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Thoughts from the latest episode. Hello, I love your show and listen all the time and have some thoughts on your latest episode with Carl Tart. One aspect that would be unappealing about the robot spouse would be a lack of their own life and personal experiences. While I love telling my spouse, mom, best friend about my day, I love hearing about their day just as much. Funny stories, embarrassing moments, etc. I think I would get annoyed with a person living in my home who is only focused on me and doesn't have anything to contribute to the conversation. Also, read the teacher... You're all right. Oh, this was about the teacher who wouldn't wear a mask in class. You're all in the right. Tattle on that fool. I would definitely I would feel differently if this was information that the parent had about the teacher's private life. So, for instance, if the parent had info that the teacher was out at a party without a mask, it would still be pretty infuriating, but I don't think they could act on it. However, if their school is requiring teachers to wear a mask, which it sounds like they do, then she needs to be following the expectation, especially when she needs to model expected behavior for these little kindergartners. One final thank you based on Maria's story from a previous episode. I decided to search my state's government site for lost money, and I found that my husband had over $1,000 in unclaimed property. Whoa. Thank you, Maria. Yes.
You should get 10%.
I love it. I know. But she does say I'm a Patreon member for Big Ones, so that's basically my fee. And my love of this pod has led me to become fans of The Alarmist.
Uh-huh.
I had the haunted planner. What does
that
mean?
That was her idea. So that was who's to blame for 2020? And we had our listeners write in with who they wanted to put on our board, our blame board. And this listener wrote in saying they had bought a planner in anticipation of having 2020 be the best year ever. And they thought that it jinxed it.
Well, and web crawlers. And she listens to web crawlers, too. Thank you for your consistently awesome content, Nora. That's so nice.
Thank you, Nora. And I agree about the spouse. And maybe that was something like an oversight on our part, because we said that I think whenever we leave, the spouse kind of like goes dark. But maybe we should let them go out in the world so that they can come back with a fun story. Like, you'll never believe who I ran into.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to go time travel again, and this is from 2017.
That is 4 years ago.
So, hope this works out. Hey, Big Ones. I have a small one I was hoping you could help me with. Last week, I was having an informal meeting with my supervisor, who I have a great relationship with, and during this meeting, she got a phone call. In the phone call, she used the term scapegoat instead of the correct term scapegoat. And my immediate instinct was to correct her use of the term after the phone call to save her any future embarrassment. However, on second thought, I figured I was being too pedantic and she might take offense. In the end, I said nothing, but I'm left wondering what to do when that happens again. I don't want to come off as disrespectful by correcting someone or something as small as this, but at the same time, if I were saying something incorrectly, I would hope someone would correct me. Any advice? Thanks. Richard, P.S. I love the show. Love you guys.
A scapegoat. That's so funny. Yeah. I mean, I'm just like the king of doing the saying the wrong thing.
I mean, it is hard because would I want someone to tell me if I was saying the wrong thing? Yeah. But also, I know that people get angry when I correct them. So
would you want?
I've learned to keep my mouth shut for the most part, unless it's like a fun conversation. But if someone's like talking to me and they're saying the wrong word and like they mean business, I won't correct them.
So who gets mad at you when you correct them?
No one gets mad, but it's just like it's not about getting mad. It's just I can feel an energy where I would go, like, if I were to correct this person right now, that may not be the best thing.
I totally get it. I think it's not appropriate if you're in like a business meeting. Mm-mm. I don't think so. I think it's like if it's your friend and you can kind of like make a joke out of it, or even a partner, but that can get a little dicey. I think like I'll use the wrong sayings a lot, and Matt always goes, "Wait, what did you just say?" And I go, and then I had to repeat it, and then he laughs, and I go, "Don't make fun." And then he goes, "I it's my favorite thing. I'm not making fun of you. I love it so much." But now I've learned enough that I say all the things I used to say wrong, I've now fixed. So, but I think in general, I don't like being corrected, and I try not to correct people.
Yeah. Unless it's a fun thing and everyone's laughing, you gotta kind of feel out the situation. But yeah, a boss or you let it go. You let it slide.
Especially when they were on a phone call and they weren't even talking to you.
Exactly. You shouldn't have been listening.
Now, one time, I think you can correct a child, because one time, this is years ago, I used to always say, anyways, blah, 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 blah. And my dad goes, it's anyway.
Yes.
And he said it really sternly. And so now I always remember to say anyway.
Anyway. What's, there's another one like that. That's like, I forget what
it is. There's like chomping at the bit. I used to say biting at the chomp.
And that's funny. See, if you say that, that's going to make me laugh. And you have said that on this show. And it's funny.
There's other ones like that, too, that I just like had wrong. I can't remember what they are now. But I'm sure I've said them all in the big ones.
Everyone's got their things. All right. We'll do one more email and then we'll get to the voicemail.
Okay, great.
Okay, Marie and Amanda, I rated five stars, reviewed and kicked in on Patreon. Apologies for taking so long. You mentioned something on the Would You Rather episode on Monday, April 20th about having the power to tell the history of any object by touching it. Amanda said that she would use that to be a detective. Write that show. That's in all caps. That could be a series or a film, yes. I enjoy your Ghost Girls series very much. What about something in that vein? You're both cops. One with a particular magical ability that would help solve crimes. Come on, ladies, get going on that while you're stuck in the house. Thanks in advance, John.
you write it, John. Why don't you write it and you cast us in it?
Write that show. I like to imagine John listening to the episode and just dropping everything.
He saw dollar signs.
Well, John, I think you're right. It does sound like a great show.
It's an amazing show. I can already see it's called like
The Touch.
The Touch. It's called The Touch.
And it's Amanda with her. She puts on a. It's like she puts on a blindfold when it's time to like go around the crime scene, and then you just see her arms outstretched, touching things, and flashes come into her brain.
Oh, and you're my you are my skeptical partner.
Yeah.
On the job, and then but you're a groper.
Yeah, but the funny thing is you've got some trauma in your past where you can't touch a person.
I can only touch objects because if I touch a person, yes. I see all their history.
Yes.
Oh, that's good. So I have to always wear like a turtleneck and long sleeves and gloves.
Wait, isn't that a movie where someone has to wear gloves because of their gift? What is that?
Yes, that is a movie.
You have to tell me.
That is a movie. A woman has to wear gloves because of her gift.
What is that?
Okay, it's Frozen, bitch.
Oh my god. I was thinking it was like some drama. I was like this live action drama with a woman with white gloves. And it's Frozen. A woman with magical powers.
Well, that's how we pitched this. It's Frozen meets the Medium.
Let's do one more email because these are, you know, why not? Okay. This is about The Complete Woman. Amanda and Maria. First of all, The Complete Woman is my favorite fiction podcast of all time.
Oh, wow.
It was the very first podcast I listened to. Oh, my God.
That's...
And I was immediately obsessed.
Wow, that's quite an intro to podcasts. Really, nothing
the
else
big
like
ones
it.
Is, The Big Ones is fantastic, too. I just found it a week ago, and this is from January 2020. And now it's in my top five must listens. And luckily, there are so many episodes for me to catch up on. Here's the issue.
Uh-oh.
The Stitcher app is so ridiculous, it doesn't let users rate review podcasts.
Oh.
You can only leave reviews via the desktop website. I don't have a computer, so you see, I am not able to post a review as you demand of me, so here is my review. Okay, so this is nice. They wrote the review here. Amanda and Maria are brilliant, gorgeous, hilarious queens. And then there's a crown emoji. The Big Ones is thought-provoking, funny, charming, and entertaining. You are feeling very sleepy. As you listen to my voice, you feel your eyes closing as you go into a deep, deep trance. You will subscribe to the Big Ones Patreon. You will give Marie and Amanda $10 a month. You will leave a 5-star review. You will wake up feeling refreshed and happy. Now. So yeah, great podcast 5 stars.
That is so nice.
Isn't that crazy that they just like did our ask for us?
That's amazing. And you know what? I just had an idea. If you haven't rated and reviewed the show because you don't know what to write, you can email us and we'll send you that review and you can post it for this listener on Apple. Oh,
that's so great. Well, there you go, ladies. Just read my review as you normally would on the podcast and all your listeners will be hypnotized to do your bidding.
Genius.
Lots of love from Ireland, Valerie. P.S. I'm just kidding about the hypnosis. That won't actually affect people.
We'll see, I guess.
Well, we got a voicemail, so let's see what is going on here. Hold on.
Feels good to empty that mailbag.
Oh, we've got so many more messages.
Really? We should do another one of these episodes.
Yeah.
Hey, this message is for the Big Ones. Hi, ladies and guests. I just had a situation lately, and I'm hoping I made the right call, but I still wanted to get your input on it. I have had a friend who was also an ex. We had a lot of like bad times in our past, but we kind of always reconnected and eventually it definitely became pretty platonic, except for the one time where she sort of made a move on me. And then afterwards we were like, yeah, that was not a good idea. I was glad that we didn't take it too far. Anyways, I'm rambling, but all of that to say that we finally were like completely platonic friends again. It was established that there was no romantic connection at all. Anyways, so she started hanging out with this guy that we both used to know 10 years ago or longer, who was religious. And neither her nor I are religious anymore. In fact, probably like the opposite. We're like kind of heathenistic now. Especially like when it comes to compared to how we grew up, we were both very Christian and we had very like limited sex lives / almost sex. Now we both have active sex lives, but this guy that she's been interested in is a virgin and has been for 30 plus years. So I talked to her and was just kind of like, hey man, I know we're not Christians and stuff, but like you dating this guy doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, but you're a very active and sexual human being. And this guy's been waiting 30 plus years for marriage to have sex. Like, don't you just think this is like a dangerous situation to enter into for both of you? And I don't know. I guess it just eventually made me so uncomfortable that it seemed like she was ignoring everything I was saying, even though I felt like it was legitimate concerns. And eventually I just couldn't deal with the drama that she was kind of bringing to my life. So I decided to just tell her, like, I care about you, but I just can't handle this level of drama right now. And I've been happier ever since. I do miss certain aspects of our friendship and at times I feel like a bad friend, but I just couldn't support that relationship, and it made me really uncomfortable that she was willing to enter into that with him. I know that he's an adult too, but it just, I don't know, it just felt really weird to me. So I guess it all boils down to this incredibly long story.
Oh my God. He never even got to ask his question.
I think what his question would be, was I right to call out my friend or, you know, and should I maybe reconnect with her and put that behind me?
Well, that was a roller coaster.
Yeah, it was. And wow, it's nice to get voicemails, you guys.
Thank you for that. And you can call us at 626-626-604-6262. So what are your impressions of our listeners' dilemma?
Okay, I have a couple thoughts. These are the things that flash through my mind. One, at the end of the day, it's none of your business what your friend does, right? It's her life and she can do what she wants. But that being said, if it is affecting you and the drama of that relationship is affecting your life and you have to remove yourself from that because of the drama she's bringing into your life, then that's totally fair too.
Mm-hmm.
It would seem if she was dating this guy and you were just, and she was totally normal around you and it wasn't creeping into your bubble, you know, into your life, I'd be like, you know what, you need to let her do her. It's not affecting you. But it seems like she was bringing the drama to him. Am I wrong in that?
No, my impression was that maybe this friendship was like a little bit, I don't know, like codependent or something where there just weren't clear boundaries. And so that's why when she starts dating this guy, you felt comfortable going to her and saying, like, judging her and sort of giving your opinion, which unless she asks for it, I actually think, you know, is not really like probably the most like mature way to interact with a friend, because as we all know, like unless someone's begging for your opinion on who they're dating, it can only backfire. That's what I think. Unless it's actually dangerous. But if it's just like, you're like, what are you doing with this guy? It's not really fair to him. It's really none of your business. But I know sometimes with friendships, you're so close to that person that you feel like it is your business. And if she's bringing it to you, then you would feel like, oh, I need to say something. But that being said,
well, that's the hard part.
Yeah. And that being said, but now that you've kind of put up a boundary and said, like, I don't really want to do this with you anymore, and you say you feel happier, I think like that's lesson learned. Like good riddance, you know, if maybe at some point you guys will reconnect and have a healthier relationship. But it sounds like you just needed a break. And I think that friendships shouldn't stress you out in that way.
Right. And, you know, you can't control what other people do with their lives. You know, it's sometimes you see people making, that's the hard thing. It's like, is you're a friend and you're going, why are you making these choices? Because you know the person really well. You understand what they're capable of and all that. And it is hard to just step back and like let your friend make the choices they're making.
Yeah.
Because they may be the wrong choices. You may see 10 steps ahead of them and they're only able to see like right in front of them. But you have to allow them to kind of play it out. But I think it was the right thing to do to create distance, because if she was coming to you with the drama of their relationship and you didn't, that was burdening you. That wasn't right of her to do either, to put that on you.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think that's smart that, you know, you got away from that. And yeah, if the relationship doesn't work out, then yeah, maybe then you can come back into each other's lives. But I think at the moment, I think that's, you know, it's good to take some time.
Yeah, because some people, it's just not the right place, not the right time. Like, you just need a little space to kind of work on your own self and your own personal growth. And you don't need to be worrying about controlling or advising someone else. Because that's not really what, like, friends, of course, we lean on each other and we ask for advice. But if it's causing you, your friend's issues are causing you, like, true anxiety, then that's not good, I don't think.
No, it's not. It's not. So enjoy this. Enjoy your freedom. Come on. Go dancing.
Oh, if only.
Well, guys, this has been such a successful mailbag episode.
I think it's maybe one of our best mailbags ever.
Of course, you guys know the drill. You can email us at thebigonespodcast@gmail.com. Your big, big ones, your little big ones, if you just want to say hi and, you know, reprimand Amanda for stealing the sun chips.
I am sorry about that.
Amanda, you don't have to apologize. Subway's the one that should be apologizing.
Well, I do think the chips are just sitting out there. It's basically...
Exactly. hey, if you don't, you know, if you don't want sticky fingers to take, don't leave out the bait. You know what I mean? They're just asking for it.
It's true.
Those should be behind a counter. Those should be behind a glass locked case. That's why they do it at CVS. That's why they put the razors behind the glass, is because they know people are going to just come by and take them.
So true.
You can tweet us at The Big Ones Pod on Twitter, and please join our Patreon for as little as $3 a month. You can get 2 bonus episodes, and don't worry, I know what you guys are thinking. It's February 23rd. Where are those Patreon episodes? Well, joke's on you guys. They're coming at you so soon. It's
going to be a 1-2 punch.
Yeah. And yeah, we'll see you guys next week. Until then, keep on living your dream and your truth. Mm. And thanks for listening to The Big One.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.